Pastor Ray Bentley says God will fight our enemies for us.
God wants you to know this. I don't want you to fight the enemy, but I do want you to go to war with the enemy. But I'm not asking you to fight. God told Israel, I will fight your battles for you. But if you fight your battles, God will back up and say, well, do your best. But God really prefers that you not fight the enemy. God says, let me at him.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God is eager to make his power and provision available to us as we live each day for him. But those resources don't invade our lives uninvited. If we stomp our feet and say, I'd rather do it myself, God will let us. Today, from the book of Numbers, Pastor Ray shows us how to say yes to the Lord's help.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapters 8 through 12. And look at the exciting title of the message today, Where It All Went Wrong. Everything up until now, actually, you know, I'm going to highlight 8 through 12, but I'm going to pull some scriptures out of that section. But this is the section of scriptures we're going to be going through. Everything from, you know, Numbers 1 through chapter 10 is good, good, good. God revealed his glory, his, you know, presence through the burning bush and to Moses, speaking to him. God reveals his glory in a cloud. They build the tabernacle. They're delivered from Egypt and slavery. Then something happened. Israel did something in Numbers chapter 11 that changed the trajectory of their lives. And in 10, it says, you know, tov, tov, tov in Hebrew. It's good, 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 good. Then in chapter 11, bad, evil. And finally, we'll see the 12 spies come back with an evil report of the promised land, and it all begins to fall apart. So these stories were written as examples for you and me today so that we don't go down that path. Can I hear an amen on that? Okay, so chapter 8. We're going to start with a good part of the story. They're journeying in the wilderness, and when they journey, they need to bring with them the furniture that is in the tabernacle, because it's an earthly replica, model, shadow of the real throne of God in heaven. So it starts by talking about the menorah. Numbers chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, and say to him, when you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand. And Aaron did so. Aaron's Moses' brother, 3 years older than Moses, and he is also the high priest. So he arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold. So it's what we would call a menorah. And it's got hammered gold on the outside of it. From its shaft to its flowers, it was hammered work. According to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. Now, I want to mention to you, you know what a menorah is? If I say menorah, you can imagine the seven-branch candlestick, right? But did you know that what the menorah really is? A picture of. If it's a pattern, a menorah is a stylized tree. Its middle branch, so it has, you know, these seven lights, but the middle one, the one right down the center, is called the servant branch. And the servant branch, the middle light, is really a picture of the Messiah. You know how in Revelation it says there's the menorah, the seven-branch candlestick, and Jesus stands in the midst. He's the middle one. He is in the very center. Everything points to him. So then you have, the center branch representing the Messiah, Jesus Christ. To the right are three what are called branches. Branches belong to a tree. And on the other side are three other branches. So there are six branches, which is the number of man. And the seventh is the Messiah, 6 plus 1, the perfect number of seven. And what is that tree? Remember when Moses saw a bush tree on fire, and yet the tree was not consumed. That's what the menorah is. And so even before the burning bush, if you were to go all the way back into the Garden of Eden, you would see the tree of life look like a menorah, and it's a tree that is on fire with the glory of God, and it has fruit on it, but it is not consumed. The glorious tree of life. And by the way, in the Holy of Holies, which is right before, or in the holy place, which is where all the priests had come, and then in the furthest northern part was the Holy of Holies, these rooms had no windows. They had no natural light. And if you were to go in there, it would be totally pitch dark. The only light that was in the holy place by which the priest could minister was the light that came from the seven flames of the menorah. And it really is a picture of Jesus. So Jesus is the light that emanates from the presence of God. Can I hear an amen on that? So Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, I want you to look at that last phrase, the seven spirits of God. What does that mean? Well, to describe it, I would say apparently there are patterns and emanations that we come into an understanding in the spiritual realm. As there is a three-in-one, there is a seven-in-one in the Holy Spirit. A sevenfold work of the Holy Spirit. Read with me Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, because this is where in the Bible we get a delineation of the Spirit that is one, but then we get a definition that is sevenfold. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. There is a sevenfold work of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do in all of our lives. And some of us have narrowed it down. I'll let him work in these two areas, but we've got five others that God wants to add. And I believe it is outlined clearly here in Isaiah chapter 11. I want to say something else about seven, just briefly. I'm going to just throw it in. Basically, there are seven colors to the rainbow. When you see a rainbow, and I want you to know that one of the things when we actually are in heaven and the beauty of heaven and the glory of the throne of God, and it won't be golden cherubim, it will be real cherubim, and you will see them shimmering, and the only way to probably describe their garments is that they're like precious stones, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, sapphires, and then shimmering in absolute pure light and glory. And then the thing that you'll recognize about the throne of God is, you'll go, wow, look at that rainbow. Did you know the Bible says around the throne of God is a rainbow? It is in the natural that God has allowed. It's like he took a piece of the heavenly throne room and put it on the earth every time it ends with a rain. And he says, I made a promise, I'll never destroy the world by flood again. And it's like he puts heaven and the throne there. See, I keep my covenants and my promises. So anyway, all of these things come, the sevenfold work of the Spirit of God in our lives that God wants to. Okay, let's go to chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. I want to talk about the cloud, the glory cloud that is coming, and trumpets. Verse 15 says, now on the day of the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. So God's glory cloud had been on the mountain. He said, but I'm not satisfied. I want to come down just like a dad down with the kids where I can hold you, hug you, and wrestle with you. And so he came all the way down to the tabernacle. But now, as he said, okay, we got to go to the promised land. We got to go through the wilderness, but I'll go with you and before you. So the cloud would lift. And whenever the cloud lifted, it meant, oh, it's time to move, because we follow the cloud. God is looking for a remnant of people on the earth who will follow the moving of the cloud of his Spirit and glory on the earth, that we follow that habit and pattern. Because when the Lord goes before us, he brings us into our inheritance in the promised land. Can I hear an amen? So here's, it would lift, and when it would lift, there were two priests that would blow silver trumpets with long, loud trumpet blasts. And when you heard the trumpet blast, it was like, oh, I guess the cloud has risen, meaning it's time to move. So we've got to, you know, break down our tent, and they had to break down the tabernacle and get ready to travel. And God, for that time they were in the wilderness, they literally had, you know, in the desert, in the Middle East, are you kidding me? They had a cloud that provided divine air conditioning the whole journey during the day. And at night, when it gets freezing cold, they had a divine furnace like a pillar of fire watching over them. Now, these trumpet blasts were used for a number of different things. Trumpet blasts were used for, number one, moving camp. I want to say, I'm spiritualizing here for you. Sometimes God will sound a trumpet in the spirit. It's not a literal trumpet, but it's something where all of a sudden in the spirit, you just kind of, you know, like if you heard a real trumpet, and you go, wow, all you can think about is that really loud thing in my ears. Sometimes God does that in the spirit, where all of a sudden he gets your attention. A trumpet blast may mean it's time to move. Secondly, the convening of an assembly. When you heard another different trumpet blast, it meant you need to get together with family. We need to gather and then listen. God must have something to say through the leader, Moses, or through Aaron the high priest. Number three, announcing the beginning of the divine appointments. There were seven of them. They were always announced with trumpets and special Sabbaths. And then finally, invoking divine assistance in battle. They would blow the trumpet before they would go out to battle. Now, here's what God said about fighting, because look, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life, but you have an enemy, he's called the devil, and he hates your guts, and he wants to kill, rob, steal, and destroy your life. Have you found that out to be true? It's very real. The spiritual world is very real. But here's the deal. God wants you to know this. I don't want you to fight the enemy, but I do want you to go to war with the enemy. But I'm not asking you to fight. God told Israel, I will fight your battles for you. But if you fight your battles, God will back up and say, well, do your best. He'll let you fight your battles if you choose to step into the ring with the enemy and fight with him. But God really prefers that you not fight the enemy. God says, let me at him. You step back, let me fight. He said, I'm going to put my ark, my presence before you, and I will be the one to meet the enemy, and I will knock him down, and I will shake him to the core, and I will tear walls down, and whatever it takes. You just follow me. Hallelujah. But he says, I do want you to go to war. It's not just la la land. We're going to war. What going to war means is we follow the leading of the cloud of God's Spirit, because it's only then that God gets to where he can confront the enemy and fight our battles and bring us into the land. So we do not fight. God fights for us, but we do go to war, but the Lord is the one leading and going before us in all of that. And I think it's important to know all of that. And then lastly, the blowing of the trumpets will herald the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and will mark the beginning of the great 1,000-year Sabbath called the Messianic era, the Kingdom Age. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen? Amen. One time reading that, I kind of missed it, you know, and coming with great glory. And it, in my head, it came out, the Lord is coming with great glory. I don't know why I love Greg, but he's coming in great glory. Okay, chapter 11, very quickly. Here's the turning point. I'm going to have to really summarize this quickly. Verse 1. Now when the people, here's when everything has been good up to Numbers 10. Now chapter 11, the word in Hebrew for bad. starts coming up over and over again. Here's where it all began. Verse 1, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of them in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. And then it goes on to talk about the mixed multitude, that they began to complain, we want the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers and all of the food, by the way, that grows under the ground. And what was it that they were rejecting? Here's what they were rejecting. They rejected manna. You got 2 million people in the desert, and they left in such a hurry, they didn't have time to get food. God said, don't worry about it. Leave now. Now's the time. Go with me. I'll take care of everything. And God says, let me feed you bread from heaven. It literally was made in heaven, processed in heaven, delivered from heaven. All they had to do was open their little tent door and walk out and collect it and eat bread from heaven to be able to survive. And they complained and murmured and said, manna again? Okay, you know, I mean, look, when you have nothing and you're in the desert and bread appears every morning and it's from heaven, how do you complain against that? They got tired of manna. And yet God had provided it. They rejected it. And this sets up when finally the 12 spies give a bad report. What started as murmuring and complaining became outright unbelief. Be careful. God doesn't want us to complain. Do you know what the manna is a picture of? The bread from heaven? The Word of God. If you have a Bible, I want you, let me see your Bibles. I gotta see this. Okay, I see Bibles, iPhones, and iPads. That's okay, that's good, because I know the Bible's on the little phone, the little iPad. But the enemy comes to you and says, oh man, you're gonna read the Bible again? Blah, 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 Bible, Bible, Bible. Haven't you heard all this before? Don't you want some new spirituality, some new input? Go out there. There's other ways to get spiritual, electrified, and who knows, maybe there's other gods, other worlds, other beings, other la, 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 la. I want to tell you this. Be careful. Because it's there is no God besides God. He is Lord alone. And whatever other gods there may be are fallen angels, and they are demonic, and they're into themselves. And it's a house divided, and that's why Satan's kingdom will fall. It's a house divided against itself. It's very confusing, and what starts appearing to be variety ends up being great darkness. So don't ever get tired of the Word of God. Don't ever get tired of manna, day by day by day by day. Say, thank God for the manna. Thank God for His Word. Because what begins, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's very narrow, the gate that leads to eternal life. But once you get through the gate, it opens so wide. That's where all the diversity comes. That's where all the multiplication and the layers forever and eternity. But the one that said, nah, we don't want to go through that broad way. Why does it have to be the only way? Here is 1,000 doors. Pick any door that you want. But you know what? The broad door leads to a very narrow place called darkness and separation from God for all of eternity. It's the narrow way that leads to diversity and multiplying and layer upon layer upon layer of blessing. Never be tired of the manna or of the Word of God. I want to close then with two quick takeaways. What do we take away from all this? Number one, complaining is a serious issue because it is so contagious. It's summertime. Everybody wants to get a little vacation. How many of you have families? And then you go. And then all of a sudden, the kids start complaining. What? When are we going to get there? What are we going to eat? Oh, not that. Again? How does that make you feel as a parent? Does it make you feel, oh, you cute little brats? No, you. Something rises up within you. Same with God. What started with the mixed multitude, they started complaining. I mean, God is there leading them, and like, oh my gosh, look at that. Little bread cakes down there, tastes like a little honey, same, bland. They're complaining about bread from heaven. And I want to just say this. Do you know when they started complaining about the manna, do you know how close they were to the promised land? Does anybody know how long it was from where they were to enter into the land where then they could have farms and they could grow whatever they wanted? God gave them all the variety and responsibility. How many days? 11. 11 days. 11 days. Can you handle manna for 11 days? Miraculously appearing every morning? Is that so hard? And once you get into the 11 days, but because they rejected the manna and then they gave an evil report, 11 days turned into 40 years. What did they do? They went in circles and then they died. God got so sick of it, he said, you know what? You guys, you can whine, you complain, fine. You don't want to go forward? You can perish in the wilderness, but I'll bring your kids in. And the kids entered in. Okay, so Philippians 2, 14 through 16, let's read it out loud. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. So do everything without complaining or arguing. So don't complain about where you are in this stage of your life. Number two, last, we release God's glory when we give thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. This is the will of God. And it releases the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. God goes, finally, my kids appreciate. Do you not like it when your kids appreciate how much hard work you do for them? And when they grow, what it shows is a little bit of maturity. Like, you know what, Dad? I know I've not been an easy kid to raise, but thank you. Thank you, Mom, for everything you did. How far does that go? How much does our God want to hear? Okay, so let's read it. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you have a pen or pencil, circle the word in. Very important word, because some people mistakenly quote this verse to their friends and make it very difficult on them. They go, you have to be thankful for this. Great, you just lost your job. Oh, you better be thankful for it. No, it didn't say be thankful for it. I just got cancer. I'm not thankful for that. It doesn't say be thankful for those things. Be thankful in them. There's a difference. Do you notice the difference? Lord, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why this is. I'm going through this, but I know that you are my God, and I know that you're faithful, and I know this too shall pass, and therefore I choose to trust in you, and I give you thanks in my lousy circumstances. But that shows faith, and God goes, oh man, you get it. Am I gonna bless you? Because you are beginning to mature as my son or daughter. I'm so proud of you. You're reflecting my nature and character, my son. Wait till you see what I've got planned for you. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great insight on the perspective we're to have as children of God. Good instruction from our studies in the book of Numbers today here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's called Where It All Went Wrong, and we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the title, Where It All Went Wrong. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Numbers on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 1-800-921-2727 or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Numbers. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.